Warning, the following program is designed for casual wrestling fans and is meant purely for entertainment. If you're SAWFT, proceed at your own risk. Viewer discretion is advised. Brother, I'm going on a wild Hulk Hogan. If I like get some moment, I'll make sure it's an explosion. Cause lately I've been seeing stars, trying to kick out of this choke hold. But it's no holds barred, middle fingers like I'm Stone Cold. What is up, everybody? It is your boy, We Too Deep, and we are back with another episode of the Slapping Meat Wrestling Podcast. Not quite certain I think that may have been a little delayed from the intro and all that. My computer was running a little slow there. So I'm not sure. If not, then it's cool. Forget I said it. But this is going to be the final episode of this podcast of the year. And then we'll move into the sort of 2 weeks of, you know, Christmas, New Year's, and all of that, while everyone, you know, is with their family and busy, and then there's not a lot of, I want you guys to be, you know, attentive in that area, not looking out for content. I know it's going to be a rough 2 weeks. I get it, but we'll be back with this podcast I'm be honest with you, we're going to be back. I was going to plan for January 7th. We're going to hold off till January 14th. I want to watch New Year's Evil live because that is going to be, I just have a really big feeling that New Year's Evil is going to change a lot about NXT. I think that whole week, sort of debut week of from the third, or what is it? It's going to be the third, which is that Friday, through NXT on the 7th. I think that's going to be a really, really big week for the company to start the new year. And so I do want to watch New Year's Evil live. So we won't be back till January the 14th will be the first episode back for the Slapping Meat Podcast. For the year of 2025. Same, the setup's going to be the same with, you know, Tuesdays, me and Wavy D, Fridays, or whenever my off day is that I can record a second episode, you'll get that second episode sometime in the week as well. Coming new to 2025 is going to be the Slapping Meat Football Podcast, which probably will be that those will be one episode a week on my off day, right? And not exactly certain how that's going to look. At this point, I'm still working through that. But that content will be there as well for you all, as well as the new thing that I want to show you. I announced it a couple weeks ago. It's been sort of talked about in the Discord a little bit. But women's pro wrestling action. That's what I want to talk about. You know, I pulled this up here for you all to see. This is sort of the update that I want to give, right? So the first show, which I've actually just finished recording these 5 qualifier matches, those qualifiers will be, you know, to get into the women's pro wrestling championship match, right? Regular shows will air on Friday night at 8 p.m. Like, oh, it's going against SmackDown. It's that's when it will be posted, right? These aren't like live shows that are right now. It'll be posted at 8 p.m. on Friday. I'll have them. The episodes essentially will be done on my off day, and then posted on YouTube to go live or to be watched at 8 p.m. on Friday. What we're going to have are premier events. These events are, you know, your PLE type events, right? Now, they're not going to be like, you know, I'm going to go in here a little bit. I want to spend some time talking about what this will look like, what WPWA will look like. Those premier events, again, will be pre-recorded, put together, edited, post it, and they will go, and the reason I'm calling them premier events will be because they will be what YouTube allows as a premier episode, right? So you set it as to launch as a premiere. It goes live at 8 p.m. You can't skip forward or backwards unless you pause it, right? You have to watch it as it's airing, right? And so those and to sort of give like that PLE pay-per-view sort of feel, that's what these are going to be. There'll be six of them throughout, I guess, a calendar year. The first one will actually be the second episode of the whole thing, right? So the first episode that airs will be the qualifiers. The second episode will be so the next night will be the first premiere event, which we're going to be calling, you know, it's a women's only league or promotion, right? So we're going to call it No Man's Land. No Man's Land is going to be where we crown the first champion. And then the rest of the matches on No Man's Land, being a premier event, will be just sort of standard matches. So being that this is a online promotion and there's, you know, no real way to tell stories here. Like what I learned from doing Queen City Pro Wrestling, you know, a year and a half or so ago, was that I tried to make a storyline, but it was really difficult when you couldn't do promos in the game. You don't really have a free way to like build interactions and tell stories. And so it really focused on the matches. Well, what we're going to do here is make the matches mean something. And there's going to be zero storytelling. It's literally just going to, and so what I want this to feel like is sort of like your weekly night out to the independent scene locally. Right. And so it's going to be, right, when you go to a local indie event, right, those are fun events, even if you're a casual fan, right? Because you don't, it's just about the action, right? And so the sort of overall atmosphere of this is like, hey, we're watching the local indie promotion, and a lot of your local indie shows don't carry a bunch of stories into it. It's really just about the action in the ring for that single night. And then it's also going to sort of have a MMA style feel to it, that records determine your number one contendership. So the records will start once we crown a champion, right? We're going to crown a champion, and then the next episode after that, those are when the records will start to determine number one contendership. The title will be defended at every premiere event. But being that there's only six of those, there's going to be other, you know, weekly episodes where the champion has to defend the title, right? And so, and there's going to be several of ways to determine like a number one contender, right? And it's going to be by record, and, But also what I want this to sort of be fan interactive to get you guys to watch. So there's also going to be like a fan vote element to it as well. Like who you guys say are your favorites in the promotion. Right. And I really want to, you know, have that happen, you know, and then to make it a little bit fun, because there's not going to be like a storyline element to this. To make it a little bit like fantasy-wise, I'm considering this as part of the WWE ID program, right? So there's going to be WWE logos and banners in the custom arena and stuff like that, right? And that this is part of the WWE ID program. And because of that, there's going to be like an occasional WWE superstar in a match. Just to make it a little bit fun and spontaneous. And so that's sort of the update on that. What I'm going to do, so these aren't going to come out until 2025. Probably the January 10th. I'm aiming for January 10th. And what I'm going to do over the next, you know, the break, the next few weeks, is I got the first episode done. I'm about to actually probably record the first premiere event tonight or to sometime this weekend. And then I'm going to try to bank some episodes in. Being that there's no storyline being told, I don't really, there's not a lot of booking that goes involved. It's just like, let's put some matches together, right? And then the hardest part will, to me, really, would just be to keep up with the record. And so that's what, you know, we'll have a weekly, once the episodes start kicking off and the records start being kicked, we'll have like a weekly, like, rankings that get posted and all of that. And I'll try to keep it as fun and fan engaged as possible. You know, I'm even out, if you have WWE 2K24 and on the PS5 PlayStation area, because I don't think, I could be wrong, but I think it's connected to your Sony account or excuse me, your WWE account, your 2K account. So I do believe if you have Xbox or PC as well, that I can download them. I'm not exactly certain with that. If you want to create a woman to participate in this, right? I'm looking to expand the rosters. That's fine. Two things I need from you. I need you to create the superstar. When you upload it to community creations, use the hashtag WPWA. That way I can find it. Even if you could tell me the name and all of that. So I would use two hashtags, WPWA and then SMWP. I mean, Slap and Meat Wrestling Podcast, right? That way I could search by those hashtags and find your custom creator, right? You know, Wavy D, you know, had a critique on the roster that there's not enough big girls. Well, Wavy D, if you want to create a big girl, I'll happily insert her into the roster and do all of that, right? But the second thing that I need you to do is if you want her, that particular person to have, so we're not using any audio from the game itself outside of Mike Rome doing the name pronunciations. So I would need you to, you know, you can go on YouTube and just send me the link of some song, you know. I'm not worried about copyright strikes. I'm not trying to monetize this. So if you want to use a real song, that's fine. If you found some sort of like copyright free instrumental you like, that's fine. But send me that link. That way I can download that music and that way I can put it in, right? The last thing is, you know, what about the commentary? Well, there's not going to be commentary. So I really want to focus on the matches here, because that's the only thing that really matters in the video game format, is the matches, right? And so I think this is going to be a cool idea of just having sort of this event, because commentary really is to try to tell you a story, right? The whole idea of commentary in any sport, even like real professional sports like football, baseball, basketball, the whole job of a commentator is to sell you on the story of the matchup, right? And yes, it's to tell you what's going on, but even in football, like what makes Joe Tessitore really easy to come over from ESPN college football into Monday Night Raw is that his whole job as lead commentator when he does football is to It's to convince the audience on the story of the game, right? So he does that cold open on every game he's in, and he sort of sets up the drama of the game. He's magnificent at it, right? The whole point of commentary is to sell you on the story and the drama of the event you're watching, right? Well, we're not really trying to create a drama here. So I want this to be really focused on the matches itself and to give them that spotlight. And I don't want you guys to focus on how bad or how good my commentary is if I were to do it. I also think the game's commentary is highly annoying, so I am turning that off. The whole focus, again, is you're at your local indie show. There's no commentary. You're just in the crowd, and you're watching these matches and just enjoying the matches for what they are, the athletic competition that they are, right? There's a reason, like I don't know if you've ever watched a show, like a football game without commentary. You notice certain things that commentary doesn't focus on, right? Or if you go to like a game in person, it almost feels like a better experience sometimes because you don't have the commentary there to try to like sell you on a story, right? So that's what I want this to be, is like just the local night out at your local indie show. So that's what this is going to be. I think it'll be fun. Again, if you guys want to create anyone, you know, insert, upload them, use the hashtag Slapping Meat Wrestling Pocket, SMWP, and then WPWA. Let me know you created them so I know to search for them. Send me the link of whatever music you want to have for them, and then we'll get them in the show. I can't promise they'll be utilized a lot. If you have favorites that are on the roster that you start to realize as I'm going through the episodes, like, you're not using so-and-so, let me know. Hey, I want to know who you guys like, who you want to see the most, so that I can continue to put them on that created content, right? With that being said, let's dive in. This isn't just going to be an update on that. I want to do some final thoughts leaving 2024, right? So we did the award show and we had a great time. I want to thank the Beyond the Junkyard guy, boys K-Dog and Cody and James for showing up. Twan for showing up. He had some really good insight. You know, I was coming into this and I was like, I kind of know where Cody and James are probably going to go. Cody surprised me a little bit with his WWE picks for some of his awards because I didn't think he watched WWE as much. I felt a lot of, I'll just be honest, like I'm an open book. I felt like a lot of what Cody's answers were sort of, to me, it was like, okay, he recognizes that, you know, some of these awards AEW didn't do, right? And so Cody's a little bit more, like I knew where James was going, like 99% of his awards, right? Just because I know, you know, if you listen to the Beyond the Junkyard podcast, you know James is the Glazer of AEW, right? He's extremely emotionally attached to that brand, and no, that's fine. Cody's a little bit more rational. I expected more AEW picks from him, knowing he was coming into a situation where there was going to be a lot of WWE support. I kind of expected both of them to represent their show that they watch. Nerdy D, again, thank you for joining. Had a lot of very good perspectives from the casual audience. His answers, for the most part, kind of surprised me because I felt that me and him were going to have the same answers. But he gave, and this is not a diss. He gave the casual answer, right? He gave the answer if you were to ask the casual watcher who doesn't watch 52 weeks a year, he represented his. Essentially the brand he sort of represents of the casual fan. He represented his people, right? 100% fine. Wavy D was on there representing him. I kind of knew where he was headed with what he was doing. And then I gave my answers, right? But I said some things on there that I didn't really dive into because we had six people and I didn't want this to be a three-hour show, right? I think timing-wise, we were good. I would have liked it to be an hour and 30 minutes. We went like an hour and 45, and which is fine. We had a decent enough discussion, I believe, with the six people we had there. People sort of, you know, maybe if we had a little bit, maybe we could have done a little bit more back-to-back, but with the panel that I had, I didn't necessarily think discussion was needed, and I'm glad it didn't break out into a discussion, just personally, because that would have taken a lot of time, right? And I think that would have made it a super emotional product, which is what I didn't want, right? I was a little nervous when, I'll be honest, I'm always nervous when I invite James onto the show. Again, not a diss, it's just he's emotionally attached to AEW. And so he says some crazy shit, right? And about AEW. And he said some of that in that episode, but I'm always like nervous that he will sort of respond back to something that I say or Wavy D says, and then we lose track, right? So because I was super focused on just keeping us on track to make it the shortest possible amount of time, while still giving you a decent product, I really didn't expound on some of my things. So one of the things that I really wanted, I wish I would have expounded upon a little bit more, so that's why I'm really doing this episode, is I felt that 2024, at least from a WWE perspective, was a down year from a storyline perspective, right? So you'll get someone like a Nerdy D, no diss here, it's his opinion. He represents a certain market of the fan base. He looks at WWE as a year and says, man, from a business perspective, they just got Netflix. They got whole new TV deals done. Business is booming. Wrestling's probably the most popular it's been in since the Attitude Era. The Rock showed up. You had all of this nostalgia stuff. You just had a good TV show on NBC, right? And he looks at the business as it's growing. And I look at it from a storyline perspective, right? So I think, and this is why I always say wrestling is a spectrum. Fandom is a spectrum for everything, right? And so you have your super hardcores on the WWE and AEW side, you know, who are emotionally attached to the brand, and they'll justify whatever, you know, if it's WWE, I like it. If it's AEW, I don't like it, or vice versa. Right. And then you have your super casuals that watch the product, and maybe, you know, because of, you know, his sort of background with business, it's easy for someone like a Nerdy D to watch it from a business perspective. And I even, at some time, will look at it from a business perspective with certain things that get done. However, I'm more focused on watching from a storyline perspective. And I think this is if everyone watched wrestling from a storyline perspective, as if it's a television show. And right, so let me just say this, right? Let me sort of use this analogy, right? So, you know, NCIS is a CBS owned television show, and there's stuff that happens in the background. Well, let's not even use NCIS. Let's use Yellowstone, who just had their fifth and final season in, and I didn't actually watch the fifth season, to be honest with you, but outside of the return episode of like the second half of the season, I watched that. The episode where John Dutton gets killed off, right? And if you're watching from a storyline perspective and you don't pay attention to the behind the scenes drama, the business end of the show, right? That is what I would critique, right? So for me, there's business stuff we can talk about, right? And you could talk about, like, if we continue this analogy, we could talk about the fact that Kevin Costner left the show to go do his own thing, and there was drama behind the scenes and contract information and stuff. And that happens on every TV show. But guess what? When the show's on, I'm not thinking about who, you know, the contract situation of the guy who plays Rip, or the guy who, or the girl who plays Beth, right? I'm not thinking about those contract situations. Or, you know, another show that's ending, I think it's a CBS show, is Blue Bloods. And there's a lot of drama going on behind the scenes of that show ending because the, I don't remember. I can't think of the lead actor's name in that show. Tom Selleck, I just looked it up. Tom Selleck is sort of upset with the fact that this is the last season and that it got canceled, right? But when I watch the show, I'm not thinking about that, right? So the same thing is going on with WWE. When WWE is on, and how I judge the product is from this storyline perspective, as if it's a TV show, right? So when I turn on a Friday night SmackDown tomorrow night, I'm not sitting here thinking about Kevin Owens' contract situation. I just want to see Kevin Owens with the Winged Eagle belt and what his storyline is, right? And so from a storyline perspective, I don't think WWE had a very good year. And so I want to go through the year and look at it in hindsight. And hindsight's always 20/20, right? And so I think this booking just overall was safe with a heavy dose of nostalgia. And the nostalgia comes in three different points, right? You have I'm gonna break the WWE calendar into thirds, right? Leading up to WrestleMania, leading up to SummerSlam, and then leading up to the end of the year, right? Through the end of the year, right? So leading up to WrestleMania, what was the nostalgia? It was The Rock. The Rock is the nostalgia. Not only do we have The Rock, but now we have heel Rock. We have, like, you know, the disrespectful Rock. And that's the nostalgia. But then WrestleMania itself had, not Austin, it had Taker, and it had Cena, and it had the Shield music, and it had all the nostalgia that got a pop, but no story that came out of it. Right. Well, what about the sort of middle part leading up to SummerSlam? What was that nostalgia? The Wyatt Six, the nostalgia of Bray Wyatt, which killed the Chad Gable Otis storyline. And it's right. It's sort of been the sort of dark, gloomy, like, thing on the show that whenever they show up, like, no one actually cares anymore. Which I want to go back to June. I always come back and say this. I told you guys this was going to happen. This is a nostalgia act that attracts a very small portion of the fan base. Well, then what's the nostalgia act of the rest of the year? And that is Saturday night main event. We bring back this nostalgia of the 80s. You bring back Jesse Ventura, right? And you focus a lot of your booking from September, you know, well, after Bad Blood, post Bad Blood, it was just living off of the Bloodline story, which at this point I think is a nostalgia act as well, right? And I love the Bloodline. But I feel like at this point, it's the nostalgia act of the current era, right? Nothing else sort of really got built on a major way, right? And you pull out these trinkets, and I think it was a lot of safe booking throughout this year. But let's go through. So I already talked about WrestleMania, like, and I'm going to give props to Cody because he noticed it in the moment that this booking made no sense. This whole Seth Rollins angle. And I'm going to just say the WrestleMania match itself didn't make any sense. Like, I think there was a better way, and I'm going to die on this hill, that there was a better way to have Roman lose the title, right? And then, so let's go back. Let's time travel for a minute. Again, hindsight's 2020. I think WWE, if they're listening to this, will look back and say, yeah, this guy's speaking some truth here. So let's go back to the build up to it, and at the moment was fine. I didn't have an issue with it, but looking back in hindsight, Rollins should have had zero impact in this match, right? The way they should have built this was Cody was so confident in himself and so desperate to get an opportunity at the tag team championships that he wins the Rumble. He knows he's getting a match for a title, but he wants to beat Roman Reigns, right? And so he comes in and he chooses Roman Reigns. And then you have The Rock step up and say, listen here, boy, you're not jumping into this. This is family business. And then I would have, like, you can set up Rock versus Roman in a handicap match. You didn't need a partner for Cody. Right, Cody's this confident, gung-ho, desperate guy who's willing to do whatever it takes to make sure he can face Roman Reigns and get revenge for what happened the year prior, right? Make amends to that situation, right? And so he takes this match, and it's a handicap match, and if Rock and Roman win, it's bloodline rules for the next night, right? And that same setup is fine, right? But if Cody wins, then it's just a standard match, right? And Rock and Roman do win the match because it's a handicap match, and they beat the living shit out of Cody, right? And so Rock and Roman are confident that it's bloodline rules. Roman's confident. Rock sort of looks at him sort of like backstage and like, hey, man, I did my job here. Now it's your turn, right? And so Roman goes out. It's bloodline rules. Right. And then you have Solo come out, and that's the only interference. That's the only interference. Right. Why? Because this is building towards the larger story. Roman needs a new adversary, but Roman's also becoming a fan favorite. So you have Solo cost Roman Reigns the title, secretly in the background at the directive of The Rock, who double crossed Roman Reigns, because Rock and Roman, that story is just a story of who's actually the preeminent at the top of the, at the actual head of the tape, right? And so you could build towards Rock Roman this year by having Solo attack Roman at Mania 40. And then first off, this gives an entire reason for Solo Sikoa leaving WrestleMania. He comes out this year and what actually took place is a bunch of nothing at the beginning, right? He comes out, talks about losing, even though he went 1-35 in 2023. Talks about we need to build a legacy of winning. He just committed a coup against Roman Reigns. Let's actually have him commit the coup and do what Jimmy and Jay could have done and attack Roman and cost him the title. This makes him immediately hated. He could spend the rest of the spring into the summer building his faction like he did, getting the title match at getting a title match around the SummerSlam time period, which has Roman come out and cost him for the title, right? Come back and get revenge because you just committed a coup against the tribal chief, and you have the same story you have now leading up to War Games. And eventually into Mania 41, right? And so looking back at that booking, the initial booking, like there was no need for the nostalgia act. There was no need for that from a storyline perspective because Undertaker's never coming back in as part of that story. Makes no sense for him to be there. Cena, you can maybe whip something up since he's going to have a year in 2025 to complete all of his stories. But he's really not going to participate in the story anymore. There was really no reason for Cena to be there. There was no reason for Seth to be a part of the storyline, right? And so from a storyline perspective, this is a failure to me, right? We get a great storyline being built between, you know, as we move on, between Otis and Chad Gable. That's really, you know, good at, you know, it got you on the edge of the seat and you really felt for it, and it elevated both talents as well as Maxine. And Tozawa doesn't really get elevated because the three at play here, they're really the main characters. Tozawa's a background character, right? But the three main characters are Otis, Maxine, and Gable, and it elevated all three of them. And Otis plays the sort of hero to protect Maxine type character very well. And that story gets interrupted right as it was getting to its climax, where we were getting the turn and setting up for the SummerSlam match, right? It's real easy how this should have played out. Chad Gable beats Sami Zayn for the Intercontinental Championship. Otis turns on Chad Gable. But more so, it's by turning doesn't mean turn heel. It's he turns face. He turns and no longer helps Chad Gable. We then get Otis versus Chad Gable at SummerSlam, where you get Otis as the IC champion leaving SummerSlam, which then you could lead to like an Otis-Bron Breakker feud would be fucking hilarious from a promo perspective, but just a banger match, some banger matches there, right? And Otis is a lot better of an opponent for Bron Breakker to beat than Sami fucking Zayn, right? Because he's bigger. You know, there's a weight advantage for Otis. By that point, you would have built Otis as a legitimate babyface in the company if you had continued the storyline. But instead, you insert nostalgia of Bray Wyatt, and you tell a completely nonsensical, what I guess you can call it, a story, right? So now we have another massive booking failure to me at this point in the year, right? I'll give a plus for McIntyre and CM Punk. I gave it feud of the year, match of the year, superstar of the year, PLE of the year, all came from that feud, right? I think that's good. I think you can give a plus for Bronson, how they've built Bronson Reed up to this point. The second half of the year, once Roman returned, has been very good on this solo, you know, battle with the bloodline thing. Again, I think it's a failure, though, to insert Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes' entire title run has been a massive disappointment. Nothing's really been accomplished here. You're still doing Liv versus Rhea, a year-long story that really, for various different reasons, nothing has progressed in this. You've just had matches. Right, and Liv steals Dom, and that's about it. If you were to flip the page 365 days ago from today, the only real difference in the storyline is Rhea's not champion, and Rhea doesn't have Dom. But the rest of the story, the rest of the year, really doesn't make sense. And the whole women's division as a whole, to me, hasn't really benefited from running this storyline as long as it has been. And then running on SmackDown, Nia Jax basically dominating this year, winning Queen of the Ring, winning the title at SummerSlam. You've built up Tiffy just enough to wait, you know, to get that anticipation of her cashing in. But the rest of the women's division, I mean, I guess Chelsea Green's a little progressed because they finally gave us two mid-card titles for the women. The women's tag team division's kind of shit. Bianca Belair feels like she's in a lull. I think that's about to change. Bayley's done great work, but like really no storyline. There's from a storyline only perspective, like nothing's progressed in the women's division. The tag team division has been absolutely shit this year. Like, and so when I say like so when people say like, and I'm talking main roster. Right, I'm talking main roster WWE right now, because you could swap the channel over the next night after Raw and a couple nights before SmackDown, and you can watch NXT, and Shawn Michaels has got this thing cooking, right? NXT has done the best in terms of storyline progression. Things are moving along very well there. I'm not a fan of Roxanne Perez. I've never been, not the biggest fan of Roxanne Perez as a heel. I think she's too small, right? And I know Nerdy D gets in trouble all the time saying this, but Roxanne Perez is too small. So when you get her in the ring with Rhea Ripley or Bianca Belair, when she gets caught up, she's going to be a mid-card at best, right? Because she doesn't fit. You know, size does matter, right? And I know that gets people in trouble, but like Roxanne Perez to me it's just a smaller, and by smaller I mean shorter, a shorter version of Sasha Banks. And she's just a little bit meaner version of Selena Vega, right? She's Selena Vega with TV time, right? And a gimmick, right? And so I just don't see anything with Roxanne, just personally for me, right? But the mid-card division with the Women's North American Championship, the women division there is cooking. You got Zarya, Stephanie Vaquer, Julia. Now inserted in this, Jordan Grace is probably about to be inserted in this. You got Sol Ruka, who may be caught up, but maybe not. Fallon Henley's cooking. JC Jane is cooking. Tatum Paxley's cooking. And now they got a little weirdo faction there that I love. All three of them are big faves of mine, with Gigi Dolan, Tatum Paxley, and Shotzi. NXT's cooking. The tag team division, I think the only tag team division that WWE has that actually like has a division that's worth watching. Fraxium has done a great job leading that. Gallus is fantastic. Hank and Tank have come out of nowhere as like top performers to me. Ethan Page has done good. Trick Williams has done good. Obafemi's a monster, right? There's actual storyline progression throughout the year with NXT. So none of these complaints that I'm having right now fit NXT. So we're gonna stop talking about it. The only last thing I'll say about NXT is, boy, I just watched Tuesday's episode. And did Javon Evans legit lose teeth, or was that I thought at first it was a blood capsule, but some people, I've seen something about like people maybe I don't assume he actually lost teeth. I'm assuming it was, you know, just storyline, but boy, it was bleeding, and that feud's about to be great, right? There's storylines being told here. Rich Holland of all people went from on my radar from like, he's there. Okay, what next? Who's he going to hurt next? And I don't even hold him accountable for hurting Big E or hurting himself or anyone else that he may have put out. Injuries happen. I don't hold him accountable for it. He's just a little bit sloppy. And he went from being like a sloppy worker with really no gimmick with Sheamus and Pete Dunne to coming back to NXT and being a top heel in the company, in my opinion, right? The whole Chase U storyline throughout the year. NXT was cooking this year, right? So NXT gets a pass from all of these critiques. I don't watch AEW enough to judge their storylines, right? I think the current world title situation's dumb with how they're booking all of this towards world end. At other times of the year that I have watched, I know they've progressed something. Swerve had a good year, but I don't watch enough to judge that story from a storyline perspective. But the main roster WWE, outside of a few title changes, from a storyline perspective, are we much different at this point in 2024 than we were at this point in 2023? Wait, right at this point in 2023, we were sort of anticipating a Rock return, which is what we're anticipating now. The head things were Judgment Day and the Bloodline, which is essentially the same thing now. Now, granted, they're sort of removing the Judgment Day, but there's still trickle effects with Liv and Rhea and Finn and Damian. There's still the trickle effects that are going to take probably past Mania to get out of. Right, but outside of that, like, has anything really changed? So, I think from my hindsight position, right, which is a position you could be a casual fan and watch 52 weeks a year plus all the PLEs, and you can watch all the product. But if this is an honest reaction to the year of 2024, is 2024 really that good? Or did Triple H play some mind tricks on us? Did Triple H play some mind tricks and pull out some trinkets and pull out some nostalgia and hit us with a little bit of some. I'm gonna put this here. I'm gonna do this here, and I'm gonna do this here. And we got the Netflix deal, so we could boast about all this and this, that, and the third. Right? I also want to talk about with 2024, was the overseas experiment worth it? I think we look at this year, and I'm like, okay, the overseas PLEs weren't necessarily very good. You got the Survivor Series, wasn't good. You have the one in Germany, Bash at Berlin, not the best. The two in Saudi, not top tier products, you know. You have Australia, Elimination Chamber at the early part of the year, not the best. I'm pretty certain Money in the Bank was in Toronto. So you had another Canadian show, not the best, right? Your best events were either WrestleMania or Bad Blood, and those were American-based PLEs. SummerSlam was decent, but that's American-based. So I look at this and I'm saying, why are we continuing to cater to an international market? Right? And then at the same time, what was my complaint last year? Oh, we're going international with all the PLEs. You're going to take opportunities from smaller markets in America to see some of these smaller PLEs, right? And that's hurting a fan base, right? Well, how are they hurting the fan base this year? Ticket prices are absolutely fucking ridiculous, right? I'm looking to go. I like to go when they're in Charlotte. I'm not going this time. I'm not paying $75 to sit in the fucking nosebleeds, dude. Especially for a Monday Night Raw. Now, this is Raw on Netflix, right? This is Raw on Netflix, so it may be a little bit different. But I'm not paying $75 to sit in the nosebleed. I'm just not, right? At least Tony Khan got the message and was like, hey, let's lower these ticket prices. The product's just not good enough for people to even care about buying them. A ticket, right? WWE, like, there's no reason that you need to be charging the prices that you're charging for these ticket prices. You're pricing people out, right? Like, people who I want to, like, I'm not a big live event guy in the first place. And so I know there's a lot of people who will be like, yeah, I'll pay whatever it is. I just want to go to the show. I'm not that person. Because I'm just as fine. I'm just as comfortable. You know what? Even more comfortable. I'm a big dude. Some of these arenas don't got big seats. And then with the wrestling fan base being mostly big people, like I buy a seat. Like the last couple times I've been to a wrestling show, I go by myself because I don't got friends to go to WWE with because they all watch AEW, right? And so I go alone. And I pay this money to go to these shows, and I'm stuck in the middle of a row next to all big people, right? I'm more comfortable just sitting in my bed watching Monday Night Raw on my TV. I also think it's a better experience because I get the commentary. I don't understand why there's no way you can build in an experience on like an app or something where I can listen to commentary in the arena through like headphones or something. You would think we would have this at some point set up, right? These ticket prices are insane, right? So 2024 to me, from a business perspective, absolutely WWE has grown. Very successful year. But I judge wrestling as a TV show from a storyline perspective. And I don't think Raw or SmackDown is in a better place today with the storylines we've gotten over the year of 2024 at all. I don't think it's in a better place. I think there's potential. We're building some potential great storylines you know, McIntyre and Kevin Owens are really leading the heels. Whatever Punk does is great. Punk and Rollins is going to be a great match on the January 6th, right? But I just, I'm not going, I'm a realist, so I'm not going to sit here and allow people to sort of have this narrative that, like, 2024 was a great year. From a business perspective, maybe. From, like, a storyline perspective, it's been a very boring year. It's been safe, predictable, nostalgic booking. And that's what you get with Triple H. You get safe, nostalgic, predictable, boring booking, right? And that is what it is, right? And NXT had some nostalgia on it. Like, there were some episodes that didn't need the use of main roster superstars. Sure. But at least they put those guys into some sort of storyline that made sense, right? And I know there's going to be the excuse that there's circumstance involved with NXT, that they're in a little bubble in Orlando. And sure, you can have that that perspective. But I don't personally agree with that perspective, because every week it's still a live program. That it's right. It's not like Shawn Michaels. It has an easier way to book somebody. He's actually dealing with a lot rawer talent in terms of, and a lot greener talent. Like, I think Shawn Michaels has a much more difficult job, being that he has to get talent that isn't as known. Right, because Triple H can just throw you the Bloodline and Cody Rhodes all year, and you guys will eat that shit up. Shawn Michaels actually had to make superstars this year. Like, he had Trick Williams in the bag, but all of the right. But Shawn Michaels also has to deal with, on a yearly basis, all of his top stars that he makes potentially being taken from him. Potentially being taken from it. Now, the second thing that I want to say is, can we stop drafting NXT superstars if we're not going to use them? Can you think of how much better of a year Lyra Valkyria would have had if she would have just stayed in NXT? Can we think of how much of a better situation and a better year Kiana James would have had if she would have just stayed in NXT and didn't get drafted? And I'm happy that she gets the promotion up to the main roster, but she never got used. You can use her on main event like you're using Sol Ruka right now. But why is Kiana James getting drafted if she's never going to be on the show? And I guess she got hurt, but she got hurt on Raw. If she would have been in NXT, I'm not saying she wouldn't have gotten hurt, but she would have been in a different position, right? And I think Kiana James is too good of a talent to not be on TV. Blair Davenport is too good of a talent to only be used in qualifier matches where she loses. Can we stop? Like, Carmelo Hayes at least got used, but bro, Triple H, what is your infatuation with not pushing Carmelo Hayes? That's insane to me, dude. I get Dragunov got hurt. He was at probably the best of the draftees in terms of how they were using him. He was at least in a title picture, right? But the final thing I'm going to say here is Shinsuke Nakamura comes back. And so this is part of the nostalgia, I think, as well, that I don't think the casual fans, but the indie nostalgia, I think he uses, right? AJ Styles gets a push. Motor City Machine Guns come in, and he throws in this little trinket to the big TNA fans from the early TNA days, and oh, look, we finally got these guys, and they win the championship and have a 42-day reign that was boring as shit, didn't benefit the division at all. And what exactly do they bring to the table? They're like 40 years old, and sure, they can go, but why are we giving them championship? Like, cool, now they can say they won a title in WWE. There's no storyline, and the division doesn't get better, right? And so that's also part of the nostalgic booking that Triple H does. He brings some of these, like, guys that, like, when Shinsuke, like, people will say this all the time, oh, Shinsuke Nakamura shouldn't have signed with WWE because he was one of the hottest talents in Japan at the time, right? And that's right. And so when he comes in, they're like, oh, he should be champion. That's nostalgic booking. Bro is 4-50 something on the year. I think that includes house shows. But understand that those four wins have come since his return. So prior to his return, where he immediately gets put into the U.S. title picture, prior to those matches to build him up and those four wins, right? Prior to that, he was winless. How do you reward that? And I get all of it's predetermined and all that, right? But how do you put someone who has zero wins, that you've put zero effort in, you re-debut him in a shittier gimmick? It's nostalgia booking. Can we get off of the Triple H? Like the same thing I say with Tony Khan and the AEW Glazers. Y'all glaze Tony so much for basic shit and doing stupid shit. And you act like it's good. The same thing happens with WWE with Triple H. Triple H does the stupid shit sometimes, and people act like it's good. He does shit that makes zero logical sense, and people act like it's good. And there's only so much glaze you could put on a donut before, there's, you know, Krispy Kreme got this thing figured out perfect, right? When they glaze their donuts, this amount of glaze on a donut, and that's it, right? In the machine, it's programmed, right? And a little bit more, a little bit less, it gets thrown away, right? Well, some of y'all be glazing Triple H too much. You're over-glazing the donut. Some of y'all really just need to get off of this Triple H is the greatest thing. Like, I glaze Shawn Michaels sometimes. But I call out when Triple H and Shawn Michaels and Tony Khan do stupid shit, right? Like, this, as good as Fraxium's title run has been, I don't understand this whole fucking storyline sometimes where, like, they're against each other, they're arguing with each other, and then they're best friends again, and all of the, look, either have them lose, have the, at least there's a division there, though, right? So I can say that, right? I don't quite understand the whole thing with Speed can't be mentioned on TV, right? 2024 was a pretty down year. Can we just be honest? I think I've worn the segment out, right? I think I got my point across. So a couple weeks ago, so here's how we'll end it, right? A couple weeks ago, me and Wavy D, as part of Let's Get Cooking, did a way too early prediction of WrestleMania 41. And I had my card, right? And I thought it was a pretty decent card. But it's changed since we've done that episode. And so I want to update you on, it's a sort of like my final parting gift, the final words I speak. This is my way too early updated WrestleMania card, right? So some things have changed. I went from 14 matches to 13 matches only because my 14th match would be whoever wins the women's IC. I think that's going to be Dakota Kai. So I'm actually going to make my 14th match right now. So we'll start with that match. For the women's IC title, I lied. I think it's going to be Io Sky. Now, there's a spoiler in there. The spoiler alert for next Monday's Raw. Kairi Sane gets knocked out. Now, it's assumed that PFC attacked them. But I don't think we saw the attack. And what I think is going to happen is Io, by the way, won. And I think Io, it will become the first women's IC champion title picture, right? I think she's going to win it. I think the Mania match will be Io Sky versus Kairi Sane. I think it's going to come out again, Triple H doing similar storylines, boring old copy paste repeat. If it's the way, if the stories go the way I think they are, Bianca attacks Jade, Io attacks Kairi, Copy, paste, repeat. Just a little bit of the details are different, right? But I think it's going to be Io Sky versus Kairi Sane. I think, you know, based off of this Raw, it looks like we may be picking back up on the Otis-Chad Gable thing. I don't think it's going to work this time, but Triple H is going to pick that back up. So I'm going to say Otis versus Chad Gable. I still got Naomi and Bayley on the card. That could change, though, as we get closer to WrestleMania. The women's U.S. title picture, Chelsea Green versus Piper Niven, I think is pretty much predictable to guess that that's what's going to happen. Finn Balor versus Damian Priest is going to happen at WrestleMania. With Finn and JD losing the tag title, I did have to create a new Raw Tag Team Championship match. War Raiders, the only tag team I could really think of here is New Day. A heel New Day versus a face War Raiders. So that's going to be the match there. We still got the fatal four-way between DIY, Motor City Machine Guns, Street Profits, and Fraxium. I do believe Fraxium is going to lose the title at some point early in the year, and so it could be moved up around that time period. Tiffany versus Charlotte, still on my card. Rhea versus Bianca, still on the card. The U.S. title stays the same with Shinsuke, Andrade, and LA Knight. There's really no one else in that title picture. I'm going to change some of the participants in the six-man ladder match. Still got Braun Breaker as champion, still got Ludwig, still got Sheamus, still got Penta. But I added Dominic in this because Dominic, I think, will be on the card. I don't think he faces Rey Mysterio. And then I add Jimmy Uso. He sort of made this promo on Friday that he's going to try to do his own thing and try to, you know, stop caring about everyone else. He's on his own type thing, right? So Jimmy Uso in this match. I think the easiest booking for Gunther is just to give him the Rumble winner, which I'm going to change my opinion. I think it's going to be John Cena. I think the easiest way to book this is to have Cena win the Rumble. You don't really need a story. Cena picks Gunther, right? Cena always does the foreign, he's Team US and he takes on the foreign heels. I think Gunther pins John Cena, gets his momentum back type thing, right? I think it's 100% certain now that if a match is going to happen with The Rock, it's going to be Roman versus The Rock. How we get there, I'm not quite certain, but I do believe that is the match. And I think this is strictly fantasy booking. I don't typically believe that Triple H really necessarily believes that all titles, especially like world champions, need to be defended at all times. Right? I don't think Cody Rhodes defends his title at Mania. I think there's a bigger match for him. And so this comes in with Triple H putting hands on Kevin Owens. A lot of people assume that that means like Owens and Triple H might have a match. I don't think Triple H is wrestling again. But I think what this really is Triple H is actually sort of controlling Kevin Owens. And what I think is happening, what I think will happen is at Royal Rumble, Cody will have another match against Kevin Owens. And I think Triple H will come out and try to give Kevin Owens the belt, similar to how he won the Universal title the first time, right? And what I think will happen is we will get a Team Triple H versus a Team Cody, 4-on-4 match, right? So think about sort of who is becoming of themselves the big anti-hero, like the big anti, like the heels, right? Who are the big heels right now? Kevin Owens, Drew McIntyre, Seth Rollins. Well, who's always Team Triple H? Randy Orton. Orton could come back and turn on Cody. So you got Kevin Owens, Drew McIntyre, Seth Rollins, Randy Orton. Rollins and Orton have been part of the Authority before. Owens is a Kevin Owens guy. Owens is the Triple H guy. McIntyre is a Triple H guy, right? So there's your team there. that also fits in with a lot of the storylines with the guys on the other side, right? Team Cody, of course, is Cody Rhodes. Who's going to be his partners? CM Punk, Sami Zayn, Jey Uso. So think about this match. Cody Rhodes, Sami Zayn, CM Punk, Jey Uso versus Kevin Owens, Drew McIntyre, Seth Rollins, Randy Orton to end WrestleMania. Alongside Roman and Reigns and The Rock and Gunther and Cena, right? So I don't think any because I also don't think they're going to try to upstage Roman and Rock. That's going to be the main event of the card, of the whole show. But imagine like ending night one with this match. Cody, Sammy, CM Punk, Jey Uso, Kevin Owens, Drew McIntyre, Seth Rollins, Randy Orton. Main eventing night one, right? You can pull so many stories for the rest of the year out of this with, you know, potential Randy Cody feud, Kevin's versus Sammy to happen again, you know, Punk Rollins, Drew versus Jey Uso could be like the initial feuds coming out of it. And then, right. And so that is the big change that I have on the card for WrestleMania. But that's going to wrap up 2024 for the Slap and Meat Wrestling Podcast. That's my thoughts on the year. That's me expounding on my hot takes. Because I had a logical reason why I said it. Right? But that's the end of 2024. Thank you all for listening. As always, links in the description to join the Discord. Use our affiliate links. Get the merchandise, slapandmeatwrestling.com. But outside of that, like, share, subscribe. Thank you all for a great 2024 year season here. I think this makes like 98 episodes for the year. I do appreciate that. We're going to aim for another 90 some next year. You know, realistically, 52, we're not going to do 52 weeks, but realistically, like 50 weeks times two episodes a week and the occasional PLE review from me, we should be at around 100 next year, right? But I appreciate, all the love and support from the audience. You know, I'm going to go ahead and just shout them out, you know, Kara, B Master, you know, Wavy D, I would still consider him part of the audience because he listens, right? Starry Night, I know you listen here, to the show. I appreciate all of you. I know y'all are like the active, like core. To the rest of the people who listen, get into the Discord, join the conversation. We would love to have you. Let me know what you guys think. Leave reviews on Amazon, Spotify, Apple, all of Google Podcasts, wherever you're listening. Leave us a review, like, share, subscribe. Tell your friends about us. Remember, January the 14th is when we'll be back for this podcast. At least me and Wavy D. I may do like the first episode back be a rant episode after New Year's Evil, that Friday. But the first me and Wavy D will be back will be January the 14th. excuse me. But outside of that, you have a great Christmas season, great New Year, and I will see y'all on January. The 14th. So hit that subscribe, come along for the ride. AEW, WWE, we're always on side. From fantasy booking to baddies that slay, slapping meat wrestling every Tuesday.